Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 67, found on Pew Bible page 465. Hear the word of the Lord. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among us, among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our second scripture lesson comes from John's Gospel, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And that will be on Pew Bible page 996. Let us listen to God's word. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there was a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. God, your word lights our paths and guides us. It gives us hope in dark times and enlivens us in good. May your word guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts today. May we lead us to do and leading us to be. May we listen to your word. Amen. A miracle is a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's one of the most difficult things that we can do is try and understand them. After all, we're trying to understand them from a multitude of perspectives. We're trying to understand what it felt like to be healed, to be relieved of whatever burden the person who is healed in a miracle is healed of. And then there's also the years of understanding that we have, the point at which we try and approach this. And there's always this temptation to try and treat a miracle like a magic trick. As I read one commentary, they tried to explain this miracle of, well, the man was just psychologically, he couldn't reach this point. And so what Jesus did was, it's like, really? Really? We can explain everything away as if it's a magician with a coin palmed in his hand behind your ear. No. We need to understand that a miracle is a miracle, and there is an element of not understanding both what Jesus did, but as well as the disease and infirmity of the person being healed. We need to understand that the miraculous can still happen, although it is unfamiliar for us to see moments like this, they still do happen. And so we shouldn't dig too deep or delve too deep, because we might miss what it is we are actually digging for. Think about our miracle today as Jesus walks by the pool of Bethesda, a pool which is said to have healing properties. And before you say, oh, phooey, think about how the town of Bath and hot springs and other places have made their mark in our society and culture for years and years and years because of the benefit of their waters. The fact is, there was a subterranean stream beneath this pool, and on occasion there would be a disturbance in the water that was said to be an angel troubling the waters. And the belief was that the first person in line, the first person to go, would be healed by the waters, by this miracle moment. Now, we can imagine the chaos that would erupt as all of the people, sick and infirm, some with friends and family, some without, would all of a sudden try and get into the water first. There's this point at which we have to see it as one of those designer bridal dress moments where all of a sudden you have like 18 brides with their friends rushing down a hallway trying to get in, trying to get the right dress, elbows getting shoulder checks here and there, a mad rush like some of the Black Fridays we used to see. As people try and be first. There's no system of numbers like at the old butcher counters where you take a number and you wait until your number's called. No, this is first come, first serve, and chaos ensues. And the poor man in which Jesus meets has no one to help him in. His circumstance is tragic and weighted. He's been infirm for 38 years. And he can't get in the water fast enough. And as this happens, and as years and months and years go by, less. As another person comes and gets in the water before him, time and time and time again, we can see the diminishment of his spirit as every time somebody is just a little quicker, has one person or two people to help them get ahead of him. And into this moment, with help, hope growing less and less, walks Christ. Now, there isn't the fanfare that often accompanies Christ later in Scripture, in the Gospels, where he's got all of the disciples and this gathering crowd with him. This is just Jesus. But this miracle focuses in on two things. This moment focuses on the two things. This man's hopelessness of situation. The fact that he sits there and says, but nobody can put me in the waters, sir. The fact that it's so strange for him to still have hope, to still be able to want to get up into the fray, to still have hope that maybe this time and then there comes Jesus. Now, Jesus asks him a simple question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And we might in our heads want to take a sarcastic turn and say, well, duh. Now, of course, Jesus, I want to be healed. I still get up every time and try and get in the pool, don't I? I still want to be healed. I still fight the fight. Sometimes quite literally, try and get in there. But sir, I have no one to help me. Jesus asks if hope still exists in him, if hope is still there. But also remember, as we look at this question, anyone we've ever known battling with addiction, battling with mental illness, the reality is that there are those we know and love who, if you were to ask, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be restored? The answer is no. Until that point comes when they need and are aware that of their need to be healed. And so we have this moment where Jesus checks on this man's spirit, where it is, how it is. Do you desire to be healed, sir? And he says, yes. And then we are amazed at what else is going on. Because Jesus doesn't walk down the street, you know, and you're healed, and you're healed, and you're healed, and you're healed. When Jesus heals someone, there's this personable moment where Jesus engages with them. Jesus just doesn't walk down the road going, boom, all right, did we heal all of Jerusalem? I've got the rest of my day, time to go sit down and have some hummus and pita. No, he meets the people. He talks with them. He engages with them. Jesus is all about not just the healing of someone physically. He wants to heal all of them. He doesn't just want to tell the man to stand up and walk and have him able to walk. He wants the whole of his self. He wants a whole person. Because if you've ever had an injury, you know that there is a multi-level aspect of it. When I was in high school, I broke my collarbone. And you could still see where the two bones are sitting there. And the problem is, it took me the longest time to put a backpack on that shoulder. I know it sounds strange, but the reality is I didn't trust. In the back of my head, in the back of everything, I didn't trust that shoulder. If you've ever hurt a knee, how long does it take for you to finally reach that point of fully trusting that knee? That's not just, you have to heal all of it to be fully healed. Could Jesus have created an assembly line of healing? Well, of course he could have. But it wouldn't have been Jesus. Jesus touches the whole of a person. He connects with them. He restores not just the body, but all of them. That desire for healing that opens the door for us to see the helplessness of the man and still see that glimmer of hope, that little bit of hope he is clinging to, that allows him, when Jesus says, stand up, take up your mat, and go, that allows him to trust in Jesus and do. What would his helplessness have done to him if he hadn't met Jesus? What would have happened to his little glimmer of hope had he not met Jesus. The reality is that Jesus, by engaging this man in this way, engaging all of him, does something more for him than just heal his body. He restores and maintains his spirit. But it all starts with that willingness, that matter, that little glimmer of hope and desire to be healed and changed. It's hard for us to understand the man's illness when it's not named. But it's easy for us to understand that willingness to be changed, that willingness to be allowed, to be moved in, to be worked with, to be healed. How God and Christ meets us is going to be different, each one of us. Will he restore us physically? Not necessarily in this way. Will he restore us? Can he restore all of us? All that is us, he can. But we have to begin willingness to be healed. That willingness to let Jesus work within us. That glimmer of hope within us of what Christ can do with us, for us, and through us. And we need to trust in God. You can imagine the leap of faith that it took for the man to stand up. Back in his mind must have been the question of, what if this guy is just messing with me? What if this guy is just trying to make a fool of me? But he trusts in this stranger who he can't even name. And he stands up and walks. We're faced with the challenge of letting Christ work in and through us, to trust in God's steadfastness in the face of hopelessness, to believe that God is with us even when hope is down to a sliver. And after 38 years, we have been beaten down. But the reality is that God is with us. He heals us and works with us. We just need to partner with him and work with him and let him heal us. May healing be ours. May trust be ours. But also, may a willingness to be healed by God be alive within us. And may we awaken that in others. Amen. Brothers and sisters,